Okay, let's get right now to the action with our broadcast partners, Ken Timmerman, out of the Washington, D.C. area. Ken covers the geopolitical activities for us. Ken, there's a lot to talk about. We're going to try to cover it. There was a headline in the Jerusalem Post today that said Hassan Rouhani, who is the new president of Iran, calls Israel a wound. It's been a wound to the Muslim world for many years. And then he said this wound needs to be removed. Now, the radical rhetoric of Ahmadinejad was wipe Israel off the face of the earth. There's not much change in the conversation. This radical rhetoric still coming from the new leader of the Iranian government.
Well, that's right. And I think it's important that people understand that. He's being painted by some people in Washington, in the Obama White House in particular, as some great new moderate. But as I have looked at his record, and you and I have talked about this a little bit, Jimmy, on air, Hassan Rouhani is a member of the ruling clerical elite in the Islamic Republic of Iran. His views are not all that different from those of the supreme leader, Ayatollah Khamenei, who also believes that Israel is a gaping wound in the fabric of the Muslim world. You know, I'm just glad, I suppose, in a way, to hear him actually say these things openly and publicly, so hopefully folks will open their ears and they will hear.
Well, in addition to that, he's already announced that he's going to pick his insiders, his next Iranian cabinet, from some of those insiders that were there with Ahmadinejad that have allegiance to Ayatollah Khomeini. I mean, I don't see much change in the next couple of years as far as Iran is concerned and their development of that nuclear weapon of mass destruction.
Well, the important thing, actually, is going to be what happens in Washington. And we've seen this week that the House of Representatives is moving to vote on a new sanctions package against the Iranian regime because of their ongoing nuclear programs, their refusal to come clean with the International Atomic Energy Agency to explain their past weaponization activities, and to open certain sites that the IAEA has been asking them to open for several years. And because they won't do those things, the Congress is contemplating yet another round of sanctions just as the new president takes office on Sunday. So, you know, I think that's going to be key. How does Washington respond? Will the Obama administration do as they have suggested they will do, open a new initiative, you know, have a new opening towards Tehran with the new president under the guise that he's some great new moderate smiling mullah, or will they look at his record, look at his past statements, look at the people that he's putting in power, and recognize that he's simply the puppet of Ayatollah Khamenei, who hasn't changed one iota in his determination to destroy Israel and to destroy America.
Yes, indeed, and I hope the administration in Washington takes the latter approach, which I doubt they're going to take, but that would be the best for the world. Well, let's focus on Syria just a moment. There's word coming out of Syria that they have become now a magnet for young Islamists, even Americans, and this does not bode well for the future in that civil war.
Right, and it's Syria has kind of taken the place of Libya, which took the place of Iraq, which, you know, you have this movable feast of jihad across the Muslim world where these fighters, these young men in search of excitement, in search of doing their so-called Islamic duty, are going from battlefield to battlefield trying to gain experience and gain their street creds, if you wish, for when they go home. So you have the same kind of people who are fighting in all of these different countries, and now they're coming to Syria. What's new, I think, here, Jimmy, is, as you mentioned, you have American Muslim jihadis coming as well. You have European Muslim jihadis coming as well. And this is going to make it much more difficult, I think, for both the United States and the European countries most involved, Germany, France, Britain in particular, to control their own populations. When these returning jihadis come back with their street creds from having fought Assad in Syria or having fought Gaddafi in Libya, and then they go back to Detroit, Michigan, or they go back to London, they blend in with the local population because they have citizenship or they have green cards, and they become a lot harder to track. I think that poses a long-term danger for us. We saw it with the Boston bomber, who had a green card, was about to become a citizen, was even enrolled, his brother was even enrolled in one of Obama's Muslim outreach programs. I mean, just ridiculous. And we're not able to track those people in our societies. That, I think, is the real threat for us going down the road.
And Ken, even with this influx of these young Islamic radicals going into Syria, Bashar Assad basically standing up and saying, hey, I'm confident of victory. That's why we've been fighting for the last 2.5 years. Is that a possibility? Could he be the victor in this civil war?
He could, and that's something that 3 months ago nobody would have been able to predict or suggest. And what's happened, you have had a turning point on the battlefield, and we've seen this over the past 3 months, where the jihadis have lost key battles. The Free Syrian Army has lost key battles, and now the jihadi groups, the Al-Nusra Front, is fighting against the Free Syrian Army. So the opposition itself is split. Assad remains unified. He has got the strong support of Russia and Iran behind him. They are not wavering, whereas the Free Syrian Army doesn't have all that much outside support. They're getting economic assistance from the United States and some weapons from the Europeans. The Nusra Front is getting weapons from the Qataris in the Persian Gulf, but they're not getting the steady flow of support that Assad is getting from the Russians and the Iranians. And so I think the tide of this war is turning, and without some very significant change in Washington, London, and in Paris, I think Assad could, in fact, win the war.
Let's focus on Egypt just a moment. The crisis continually going on, moving the military against the forces and supporters of Mohamed Morsi, the president who was deposed from that position. But there are experts making the statement that they believe the Muslim Brotherhood will strengthen because of this situation, and the Muslim Brotherhood planning a million-man march. What's your evaluation from your location, what you think is developing there in Egypt?
Well, the Muslim Brotherhood certainly has the capability of putting lots of people on the streets. The question is going to be, how violent a confrontation do they want to have with the Egyptian army? I think the army has shown that it is willing to stand up to the Brotherhood. It's not afraid of using force if they feel that it's necessary to keep demonstrations from going out of control. And it really, this is a power confrontation. So, you know, the Muslim Brotherhood has the ability to bring those people to the streets. What we don't know yet is if they want a violent confrontation with the Egyptian army. And I think that's what we're going to be seeing over the next couple of weeks.
Yeah, the possibility of a civil war developing there in Egypt itself. Well, that's a story indeed we have to stay on top of. As Ken said, it'll be the next couple of weeks. We'll see what the results are going to be. Give me about 30 seconds, if you will, Ken. The Iraqi death toll tops over 1,000. I think it's 1,097 for the month of July. In the year, over 5,000. This war-torn country is really not at a point where they're stable enough to rebuild, are they?
Well, that's right, and this is the unfortunate and predictable consequence of the United States pull out from Iraq 2 years ago under President Obama. He promised that. It was an election campaign promise. He fulfilled his campaign promise, and you know, now Iraq is going to hell in a handbasket. Entirely predictable. It will get worse. You have sectarian violence between Sunnis and Shias. The only real haven of peace and development at this point is in the Kurdish areas in the north, but even they could get sucked into the conflict if the central government in Baghdad does not come to an agreement with the Kurds over oil.
It's a bad situation there in Iraq. Another story we're going to have to stay on top of, and that's why, with all these stories out there still open-ended, we need to have Ken Timmerman come along and help us understand what is happening, the real truth behind the headlines. Ken, thank you so very much, my good friend. We'll talk again next week.
Thank you, Jimmy. It's always a pleasure.